Wednesday or Thursday. I begin to think about this. So this morning, I want you to give me your close attention. I ain't never done exactly what I'm going to do right now. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm gonna look at it here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And the message this morning will come from the Apostle Paul's testimony just before the end of his life. He had been through a lot. He had been a night and a day in the deep. He had been locked up in prisons. He had been betrayed by friends and loved ones. He had been beat, stoned, thrice beaten with rods. When they beat somebody with rods, they beat them 39 times because the law said you couldn't whip somebody but 40, so they stopped at 39 because they sure didn't want to sin while they was beating God's men. And he was in all kinds of trouble. Spent a day and a night just floating out in the water. He had a bad time. The Apostle Paul did not live the life of these modern day hotshot evangelists that just travel from city to city in fine airplanes in the nicest motels and get lots of money. That ain't the Bible ministry. The Bible ministry is an education of hard knocks and troubles and burden and trials and tribulation. The Bible said we're born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And if you're not having trouble this morning, you have either just come through it or you're headed into it. One of the two. Or you're having it now. Some kind of trouble haunts us. Now, I don't mean to sound terrible because there's blessings all the way. And the blessings of God far outweigh the battles that we fight. But I'm going to take a little while this morning. I've done this one time probably 15 years ago. I'm going to take a little time this morning and just tell you some stories. And give you a little testimony of what the Lord has done for me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number, 14. I know exactly how he felt when he wrote these words. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's what Paul said. Paul was a godly man. He said, that man caused me a lot of trouble. God take care of him. Look here. Of whom be thou aware also? You got to be aware of some people. For he hath greatly withstood our words. You didn't know how much people hated preachers till this internet stuff started. They got on there and talked about Jack Hiles and accused them of everything in the world. Listen, them people ain't fit to tie Jack Hiles' shoes. I mean, I ain't probably perfect. I ain't his judge. But I'll tell you one thing. He has more God on him than all them critics ever had all put together in one time. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Lord have mercy, people, help me. But all men forsook me. Have you ever been like that? You ever been there? I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I think he felt a little bit of conviction for saying that about old what's his name up there. And he started praying for his enemies here. Verse 17. Here's the good part. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Glory to God. You know what he said? I'm going to smoke. He said, man, I was in all this trouble. He said, the people forsook me. The people they got on iPods and iPads and OPods and I said a cuss word if I'd said something else. Some of the brothers hadn't, but he has. Some of the sisters hadn't, but he has. The devil sure ain't, but he has. The Lord has stood with me. Young people, this morning, I want you to listen to a little bit of my story. Maybe it'll help you to realize if you'll live for God and you'll try to put Him first, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. But the Lord will stand with you if you'll stay right and do right. And when you fall down, you get back up and you keep going and you keep going. And the Lord will stand with you. He did Paul. He did Peter. He did Jonah. He did Samson. He did David. He did all of them. He said, the Lord stood with me. I got so many things I can tell y'all this morning. And I'm not going to tell you the bad stuff. I mean, the really hard stuff. Just going to tell you a few little stories. And my sister's here this morning up there. I'm not sure where that is. And she knows some of these stories. And Carrie knows more else than anybody. But then the rest of you just know this much, this much, this much, this much, this much, this much. And then all the stuff you think you know. She knows. I remember when I first started preaching, we had this old van. I took this old van, I had this guy, you couldn't put decals on them then, you had to have signs painted on them. And I had a man paint Jesus is coming soon in letters that big on the back of that van. And me and these boys, we didn't have no money. We'd have about $50 all total, and it'd be five of us. And we'd go up to Knoxville, Kingsport, Bristol, come back to Gatlinburg, and we call that a missionary journey, like the Apostle Paul or somebody. And we'd get about 5,000 tracts slept in the van. No shower, no motel. You know how you're old? Do you know where Motel 6 got its name? You know why they call Motel 6 Motel 6? Because they used to be $6. You can stay there for $6, brother. I'd hate to see where they put you for $6 now. $6. And then they come out with Motel 8 when it got up a little more expensive. And now it's Motel 100. But anyway, we go there, and I remember stopping over there at that river in Gatlinburg, from between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, and we went down there and washed our face off like that and had foot washing services. We had our own foot washing services. We read the Bible, but we took our shoes off, everybody got down and washed each other's feet. You say, that's crazy. You're absolutely right, that's crazy. But we enjoyed, got a blessing, shouted, and had a big time. I remember one time, and I was over here at the flea market in Marion, and we preached there every single Sunday. Every Sunday, Saturday, every Saturday. There'd be 10 or 15 preachers from Spruce Pine, they'd come from South Carolina, they'd come to the flea market in Marion and preach every Saturday. This was before I was ever a pastor. I was 19 years old. I was 20, 21. I wanted to preach all the time. Had no church, but I knew God called me to preach. And we preached somewhere every week. You know these preachers that don't ever preach? There's something wrong with preachers that don't ever preach. But anyway, I want to preach. And God put preaching inside me. And I'd read the Bible. When I was working the second shift, I'd go down through there and messages would be in my brain. I'd see crowds of people out there and I'd just blessing them out. And while I was working, I was preaching my head off. That's one way you know you're called to preach. You get messages, you get thoughts, you get stuff. It just comes in your head. You don't even try. It ain't something it just starts bubbling up in you. We'd go over there and preach, and I told about this at Miss Hazel's funeral one day. And one day, I was up on the van preaching. And I had this ladder, and you had to climb up on it like that. So I was up on top of the van. And I was up there saying, the Bible says, there's a thousand people out there. And I said, the Bible says, that's how come I scream so loud now in churches, because I learned how to preaching outside. And when you have to preach outside, you've got to scream louder, they can't hear you. And so I stand on the back of that van and said, Jesus is coming soon. And about that time, there's this big old fella with arms about that big. Not when all the other preachers was preaching, when I was preaching, come up and put his foot on the bumper of that van and looked up at me, and he pulled out a knife. I know it was that long. So, and he pulled it out sharpen it.
Well, I was up here. Oh, the Bible says, you better get saved, and you're going to hell. Well, maybe, you know me, give everybody the benefit of doubt. I thought he bought him a knife, and he was just seeing if it was, now, sometimes, now, he ain't going to come over here and put his foot right on your van and just show me his knife. Well, I finally got through preaching, and he backed up there a little bit, and I couldn't help.
Can you go get it? Can you go stop?
So Jerry grabbed it. He shot football.
by a miracle lost it. The Lord took care of it. The Lord stood with me. My daddy found out, he said, Vance, he said, somebody's going to kill you, son. That somebody's going to kill you. I can't even tell y'all the stories. I don't know what happened to Barry. Maybe the Lord killed him. I don't know. I hope he's saved. I never did know what happened to him. I remember one time I was going to take my mom up to see my sister. And I had a guy that was really trying to hurt me. He was really, as bad as you can hurt somebody, that's how bad he's hurt me. And he was hurting me very, very bad. And I had a brand new Toyota Camry. That thing didn't have 30,000 miles on it. And I took my mom up on Buck Creek to see my sister, who was dying of cancer. And I took mom, and my mom was super, super, super scared and nervous of anybody's driving, especially mine. Oh, Lord, I'm glad that cell phone wasn't out when she was at, Lord, she would have died now. I mean, if she saw me doing this, but mom would say, Daddy, you're too close on him. Daddy, you're right for him. And honest to goodness, when she rode with me, her leg would be hurting because she'd be over here putting on the brakes on her side. Well, there ain't no brakes. She'd be just mashing the floor. She said, Danny, you're falling into the car. Son, slow down. Son, slow down. I said, Mom, all right. And Buck Creek goes like this. Goes all up to the rocket up there, just like going up, you know, up to North Carolina, Boone or somewhere. Road goes just like that. We was going up through there, you know. When we went and visited my sister, that's before she got really bad. And coming back down the road, I hit my brakes. I didn't have no brakes. Down the mountain. And I thought, oh my goodness, if I tell mom this, Corey, it just bad. It wouldn't hurt me. I don't know if I've ever sneezed when I'm preaching, but I'm about to. You don't mind if I flip a booger over here while you ain't looking at me? How's that for your culture, downtown pastor of Burke County? Listen. You know, preachers do get boogers once in a while. You understand that? Even Joel Osteen. Well, anyway. I was driving into that, and I'd hit my brakes and get loose. And I hit my brakes and get... I thought, oh my gosh, Mom, if she knows this. So I was going there, and I was getting faster and faster. So I geared it down. Put second gear. I thought, maybe there is. She said... I said, well, she said, Danny, you're going off a fast lane. No, I got down to the bottom of the mountain, pulled into the store, man checked it. He said, you ain't got no brake fluid in here. I said, Mom, we don't have no. You don't have no brakes! I said, no. She said, we got down that mountain, so you're going to kill us. I said, it's all right. I took it to a mechanic who went to our church, left it with him. I mean, it's a brand new Toyota Camry. Brand new Toyota Camrys don't tear up. I went back the next day and said, got you ready, preacher. You're ready to go. I said, well, what's wrong with it? How much money? He said, you don't owe me nothing. I said, Rob Bradford. And I said, well, what is it, Rob? He said, you got somebody that don't like you? I said, yeah. He said, somebody called up, took both brake lines loose underneath your car and all the fluid dropped. Somebody's trying to get you killed. And I said, well, I got a pretty good idea who it is or who it was. I mean, I didn't know, but I kept on, and I kept on, and I kept on, and I kept on. I've seen that. You know what I've seen? I've seen the sin. You can believe this or not, but I've done that rock music that you want to get in, and demonic powers and devil powers. Listen, I've seen a ceiling fan over top of my head. When I get up and start talking about that rock music, stop while it was spinning, and a weird smell come out in the church, and it starts spinning the other way around. And the preacher got up and said, did y'all see that? And a sign of the demonic presence in a building is the smell of rotten eggs. The same smell that UFOs leave. Rotten eggs. Sulfur. You know what sulfur is? It's in hell. It ain't from Mars. Let me tell you something this morning. Through all the many dangers, toils, and snares, I can't even tell you all the bad stuff. I'm just going to tell you the little stuff. I'm like this. And I was over here trying to make the announcements, and I was making the announcements, and in the back of my head, I said, okay, if it stands right there, I'm out of here. I can't whoop him, but I guarantee you I've got to run him. I said, I can be out of here before he's licking his flint, brother. He come around and just looked at me. I kept talking. Well, I said, if he pulls out a gun, I'm just going to do like this. By the way, if there's anybody in here smart that thinks you're here and you're a terrorist or something to pull out a gun, I don't think I tried in here. We're ready for you. Just a simple little warning. Unless you want to die and go to hell today, I believe I'd behave in here. Say amen right there. And it's a wimpy church that will let a man come in and shoot up 15 or 20 people before somebody takes him out. Amen? Well, that guy come around, and he went back there and stood. And he stood there like this, and then he takes his jacket off and he got no shirt on. No shirt. Not no undershirt, no shirt. He said, I'm Satan's brother. Somebody came to me and said, preacher, you want us to get him? I said, get him out of here. I mean, everybody's welcome, but good night. I mean, they got to draw a line somewhere. I said, and they got him out there and took him up the old pool somewhere. I don't even know. One night we was in there praying. We were all in here praying, praying. Somebody touched me and said, look back over there, Eddie. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was a dark, shadowy figure sitting on the back row. Was you there that night? Remember that? 3 o'clock in the morning, brother. We in church pray. There's a dark, shadowy figure in the back. And somebody said, who's that? I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. Pray. Do what we're always doing. Read scripture. Pray. Read. We went home and said, oh God, fill us with the Holy Ghost. We looked up and he's gone. Don't know where it comes from. Don't know where it went. Don't know what it was. Don't know who it was. I'm telling you. Listen, I was in Michigan preaching one time. Up there in Michigan, and they put me in this room. There's crazy people up there. They said, this man's going to preach on rock music. This place was so bad, I had 14-year-old girls coming around up to me trying to hit on me in the service. I had them tell me, they said, now we know Prince is perverted, and we know this and that. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was packed full. So the acoustic come in handy again. I know how they had a pool table in the basement of that church for youth activities. And somebody said, I need a pointer because they pulled stuff out on the screen. And they started hollering back at me. And I mean, there was like hundreds of them. And I cut the cue stick and held by the little end where the big end was like this. And I preached the whole sermon like that. I said, Lord, I'm going to preach. But if they start, I'm just going to start swinging it just as hard as I can. And you let it land wherever you want it to land. Listen, I ain't even telling y'all about the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, millions, millions of miles that the Lord, I'm not Paul, the Lord has stood with me. It's been a miracle of God. I've been coming down the Interstate 85 through the middle of Atlanta and had a brick wall on one side and a truck and trailer coming over on me like that and they wouldn't know where to go. And there's cars behind me and cars in front of me and it would be a little, and he didn't even see me. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just stopped the gas. And went out, he didn't miss me that much. I've been in the middle of Atlanta, stopped in the middle of the night where there's a traffic jam, and about 10,000 people sitting out on the hoods of cars dancing and partying. Well, me all by my, I'm the only white person in 5 miles. And I'm telling you, brother, I'm sitting there like that. I sit there like this, the Lord help me. 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of Atlanta, I can't even tell y'all the nights that I don't even know how I got home safe. I can't even tell y'all the nights when the burdens were there. I can't tell y'all the time that I've cried myself to sleep. I'm telling you, glory to God, he's been there with me. He's always, and he ain't never left me, and he's still with me today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Lord will stand with you. The Lord will stand with you. One time my daddy, before daddy got saved, he drunk a lot. And you couldn't buy a beer in Marion. It was illegal. He bought a bootlegger. And we cried and we prayed and I wanted to burn the bootlegger's place down. And that's what people always want to do.
but it ain't their fault. I mean, you know what I mean. And one time Daddy got drunk, and he'd been drunk for about 2 weeks, and we prayed he's going to lose his job. And I got in and I said, Mom, I'm going to do something. I said, I'm not going to stand there and let him die. And I put stacks, cases of beer in the back of my van. I had liquor bottles. He drank liquor and beer. And I put stacks of it in the back of my van and drove it to the bootleggers. And it's illegal, buddy. And I backed that big van and said, Jesus is coming soon, up to the door of the bootlegger's business. Auto parts store as a front. You got it. And he came out and I said, Bill, I opened the door and I said, get that out of here. I was about 21 years old. Son, you never seen such a movement in your life. And I said, take it off Daddy's bill. We'll see you take it off my daddy's bill. And then I'd go in there and my daddy'd be laying there drunk. And I remember putting my hand on my daddy's his ankle and I'd say, Lord, don't let Daddy go to hell. Lord, don't let Daddy go to hell. Lord, don't let Daddy go to hell. Well, I told you about him getting saved and all that good stuff. And how that was, right after that, we went straight preaching. And me and these boys up preaching, and we was out of shopping center somewhere. One priest, another priest, another priest, another priest, another priest. And one of them come, he said, hey, come here, man. I said, what's wrong? He said, listen, I got to talk to you. I said, what's wrong? He said, brother, I need to talk to you about something. He said, did you know there's beer under seats of your car? I said, no, I didn't. I said, that must be what I left out the other day when I took him back to the bootlegger. He was tore up. This guy was tore up. He thought, Lord, the preacher got beer under his seat. What are we going to do about this? But then, you know, and the Lord stood with us. And the Lord stood with us. Did you know Paul wrote some of his best sermons from a jail? You know, God had about four people ask me in the last month. I had a man call me the other day from Florida, a preacher from Florida. He said, Danny, write a book. Write a book. Write a book. He said you could help a whole lot of people. I said, okay, I'm going to write every bit. I mean, the bad stuff ain't coming out. And I'm going to have it published and give it to Carrie, and the day I die, it's going on sale. Some preacher come up to me the other night, and he said, I can't wait to get that book. Tell me when you're going to put it out. King's Mountain another night. I'm telling you what, brother, I could tell y'all stories. Us getting out there in the middle of the night, I could tell you, Lord have mercy. I could tell you I had a kidney stone one time about to kill me. I was coming home from Montana, and if you've ever had a kidney stone, you can't be still. You can't sit down. You can't lay down. You just like this. You walk until you die, pass it, or go to the hospital one. You die, pass it, or go to the hospital. And boy, I was on an airplane, and they won't let you walk
cold heat. Would you raise your hand, please? Okay. You know what? We'd hang a blanket on the top of the kitchen because you didn't sleep in there, so some heat would go in Carrie's room, and a little heat would go in there. And brother, I remember going in my kitchen, and there was ice in the kitchen sink, and a baby in the bed, and no money, and no gas, and ice sat in the snow that deep, and the pipes frozen busted, so we didn't have no water to drink. And I was supposed to preach in Gastonia, and my band wouldn't start, and we're out there pushing it down the hill because it wouldn't start, and the thing finally started, and I had to borrow $4 or $5 from my cousin to get enough gas to get down there and back. And I remember having no water for 2 or 3 days, just left it like that. I told her I'd go down, go to grandma, or do something, get some water. Let me tell you this morning, I'm telling you, brother, through it all, through it all, through it all, through it all, the Lord has stood with me. Y'all say, I'm going to preach, or I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to do something else. Go ahead. I want you to listen to this song this morning. Go ahead. God's dealing with your heart this morning, and you're discouraged, and you're about ready to give up, and you think you've been through a hard time. Listen, I've not even told you the bad stuff. What I've told you is a Sunday school play compared to the really tough things. I'm telling you, through it all, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
He ain't never forsaken. He'll have to go.
hallelujah. I tell you what, he's still on the throne. He's still able. He's still willing. He can still forgive you this morning. He'll help you still come. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Listen now. My world comes wide. Woo!
Says, and through fiery trials,
And what it says about them fire, are you going through the fire this morning? You're just like the Hebrew children when it says it burned off what they put on them. They tied them Hebrew children up and put them in that fire, and the only thing it burned off is what the world put on them. And if you're going through the fire this morning, all it's going to do is the dross, burn off the dross, the silver will be refined. It'll burn off what the world put on. You ain't going, listen, if you can't feel this, you don't know what old time religion is. I'm going to try to let you hear some of it. It's not professional singing where the singer stops and shouts a while. But it's the old time way people used to worship and should worship.
I forgot where I was at. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
what they needed to court that convention up in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, the old time Holy Ghost, that ain't a bunch of fake stuff there. That ain't a bunch of this put on. Brother, that's the real deal. Saints of God shouting because they know where they're going when they leave this world. Paul said, the Lord stood with me. He'll stand with you today. Will you stand with Him? He'll stand with you today. Will you stand with Him? Tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to unhitch. Not going to dismiss. We'll just stop right there. Be back at 6 o'clock this evening. Everybody, you ask the Lord what He wants you to do. And you be back at 6 this evening. Lord bless you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Everybody be friendly.